The rest of us turn to the book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs this morning, in verse number 23, Proverbs 23 this morning. And we're going to be looking at the highest calling of a father, a father's highest calling this morning. And there may be some debate on what that might be. We all have memories of our father, maybe him fixing something, or maybe it was killing a mouse for your mother, or something like that. And so this morning, I want us to look at a couple of things here. And I've been having the habit of losing my sermon. It's here. I know it is. I just saw it. All right. I have too many things in my Bible. I haven't cleaned up my Bible in a little bit. So give me just a second. That's not it. It was here a moment ago. I'm two for two. This happened Wednesday night, too. All right. Here it is. Hold on a second. That's where I put it in my passage where I was turning. All right, here we go. Proverbs 23. I guess if I just open my Bible, it's right there. Amen. All right, we're going to start with prayer. I need prayer this morning. All right. Proverbs 23, verse number 26. So we all think of wonderful things about our fathers. It's Father's Day. I hope we have good memories to remember. Maybe it's building a fence, helping bandage a skin knee, guiding and protecting the family, holding the door for mom. That's a lost art, isn't it? Respecting women and holding the door for them. It doesn't mean they're weak. It means you honor them. Amen. All right, knocking it off a rabbit trail in the introduction. All right, these are wonderful and needed aspects of manhood and fatherhood. However, there is a calling that is perhaps a father's highest calling, that of caring and nurturing a child's heart. That of nurturing and caring for a child's heart. And as we read our passage this morning, keep this thought in your mind. And as we look at a father's highest calling, turn to Proverbs 23 and verse number 26. If we could stand together for the reading of the Word of God, just one verse. Proverbs 23, verse number 26, begins with a simple verse and a short verse, but a very profound one. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing this morning. Dearly Father, I pray that you would guide and direct this message that, Lord, you've laid on my heart. For, Lord, it is a needed message and a timely one for what we see going on all around us, dear Lord. I pray that this morning that we as fathers would be challenged. I know these passages challenged me, and I pray that we would stand to the responsibility, dear Lord, and that we would not shirk it, that we would not turn away from it, Lord, but that we would be filled with resolve to do your will and to raise children the way you would have us to raise them. We pray that you bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The message entitled, The Father's Highest Calling. A Father's Highest Calling. We see in Proverbs, of course, we know is written by Solomon, My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. As you look at Proverbs 23, verse number 22, it says, Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. We see some principles here of honoring your parents, hearkening, listening to your father. But also we see that the wisdom that Solomon is imparting here is that of, if you look at the next verse, for a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. And this morning, we see that as parents, we warn our children about things. Amen? I pray that we do. We warn them about the allurements of the world. We also nurture our children. Ephesians 6:4. Let's turn over there for just a moment as we look at this morning. First point this morning, nurturing a child's heart. Nurturing a child's heart. A father's highest calling is to nurture and care for their child's heart. Whether it's a boy or a girl, it doesn't matter. Our children should have given their hearts to us as parents. And also something we need to understand, and we're going to look at this a little bit later on, if a heart can be given, that also means that we can lose the heart of our children. We can lose the heart of our children, and we're going to look at that in just a minute. But first, we're going to look at nurturing a child's heart. Being a father is more than just bringing home a paycheck. It's more than mowing the yard. It's more than fixing things that need to be fixed. It is a responsibility and a calling to nurture. Ephesians 6:4 says this, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So nurture means that which promotes growth, education, and instruction. I'll say that again. Nurturing means an environment, that which promotes growth, education, and instruction. Parenting is a journey in teaching your children and seeing them grow. It's a blessing when you see your children grow. Amen. When you get to those points, you know, sometimes we can just go through seeing our children grow up. But there's times when you see them do something, when they take an action or they say something, and it hits you that your child is growing up, that your child is getting older, that they are maturing, that they are growing. And it's exciting to see them put into practice something that you taught them, something that you showed them from the Word of God. Nurturing, helping them grow. Think of a greenhouse. Yeah, now, greenhouses are pretty common in Texas, but especially up north, you see greenhouses all over the place. Because to grow certain types of vegetables, you need to have a certain environment. You need to have heat, you need to have moisture. And a greenhouse, the purpose of it is a controlled environment. It is an environment specifically to do one thing, make plants grow and make them grow quickly. It's protected from the elements, it's protected, it's a controlled, nurturing environment. But in order for anything to grow, it needs nutrients. How do we as fathers help our children to grow? What do they need in order for our children to grow? The first thing that children need from their fathers is love. Look at Proverbs 10, if you would. Turn to Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 12. We need to love our children. I don't think there's a father in here today that doesn't love your child. Amen. I believe that, that God puts that in us. But let me tell you something this morning. Let me ask you a question. How often do you tell your child that you love them? How often do you show them that you love them? Well, they know that I do because I provide a roof over their head. I give them, you know, a bed to sleep in and food to eat and all of. They know that I love them. Children need to hear that their father loves them. Amen. It's not weak to tell your child I love you. It's not weak to give your child a kiss goodnight. Amen. I'll never forget this. I still give my dad a kiss goodnight. So I'll never forget when I was 13 years old, you know, I was getting older, you know, I always give my dad, he would give me a kiss on the cheek. I'd give him a kiss on the cheek. And I got to be 13, I was getting older, and I said, you know, I don't, you know, think, you know, my dad always give me a hug and a kiss. That's how you'd show love to me. Tell me I love you. Tell me he loved me. And dad, why don't we just like shake hands, you know, and do that, you know, more manly, you know, and he was going to give me a hug, and I put my hands up like this. And I said, not tonight, Dad. It was just a handshake. And he took a step back. And the hurt and the concern, like, have I done something to where you don't want to, you know, show affection? It's like, well, I'm getting, you know, too old for that, Dad. But then I saw the look on his face. I said, but you know what? I guess you're never too old to give your dad a hug and a kiss. And I still do to this day. And he tells me that he loves me in his way, and I show him that I love him. But that's important, to show love to your children, to show love to your wife. Proverbs 10:12 tells us this: hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. You need to love your children. You need to love them when they're doing right. You need to love them when they make mistakes. Amen. Forgiveness and love covereth sins. But what happens? Hatred stirreth up strife. We need to love our children. We need to teach them to love other people. We need to eliminate fighting. Again, I understand siblings are going to fight. Amen. there are things that are going to happen, but we should have a nurturing environment in our home, that of love, not of contention, not of hatred, not of division, but that of love and the love of Christ. Amen. Not the world's love that's conditional, but the love of Christ, which is unconditional. Your kids should never, ever wonder, do mom and dad love me? Many times I don't think any of us doubt a mother's love, but sometimes because of how men can be, maybe you've learned to keep your emotions to yourself, and you say, I just don't express myself that way. Do your kids ever wonder if you love them? I pray not. I pray that they always would know and that we would always express. It's becoming in the generations coming, but a couple of generations ago, you know, showing affection wasn't a manly thing to do. It is manly to love your kids. Amen? It's not manly to make them think that you don't care for them. Second thing that how do we show love to our, we show love to our children. The second thing we do is we teach them. Teaching them. Look at Colossians chapter 3, if you would. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. How we know the Old Testament passages talking about how we are to teach them as we walk. By the way, when we stand up, when we sit down, every place we go, a life is a classroom. We need to take teaching moments, as many as we can, because one day we will not have them anymore. Or we will have them more less seldom. We need to teach our children the ways of God. We also need to teach our children the ways of the devil and how the devil is going to try and entrap them. We need to teach them to how to be saved. We need to teach them to love the Lord. We need to teach them to serve the Lord. Colossians 3, verse 16 tells us very clearly, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So what is it? The word of the Lord dwell in you richly. You have to, if the word of God is going to dwell in you, you need to be reading it. You need to be having family devotions or family altar. You need to be teaching your children the word of God. It's not enough to just have Sunday school. Sunday school is a great thing. We love Sunday school. Amen. It's necessary. Children, church is wonderful, but if that's the only Bible they're getting, and then Sunday night, Wednesday night, they're not being taught the Bible on a daily basis, there's something wrong. There needs to be the teaching because the world is wonderful at teaching. If you will not teach them the ways of God, the world will teach it their ways. We need to be teaching our children, instructing them. And by the way, teaching, the responsibility lies with dad. I'll say that again. The responsibility lies with dad. You're the leader of the home. It's not mom's responsibility. Not saying mom can't be part of it, that mom maybe needs to lead it when you're not there, but the tone set in the home for spirituality needs to be dad. Dads, your children need to see you reading the Bible in the morning. They need to see you praying and to know that you study your Bible and that you read your Bible and that you do what the Bible says. And another area that we can help nurture our children is that in the area of attention. Proverbs 19, verse 15. We need to love our children, teach our children. By the way, loving our children doesn't mean buying them everything they want. Because what people do sometimes, and this is what our society is doing right now, hey, I don't have time to pay attention to your life, to pay attention to what's going on, to pay attention to how you're feeling, to pay attention to what you're struggling with. Hey, I'm just going to buy you everything you want. I'm going to just give you everything that I never had. I'm going to give you everything you desire and spoil your children. Proverbs 19:15 says this, so slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. That's a great verse. I don't think that's the one I was looking for there, but hold on a second. Verse 25. Nope, I remember the verse that a child left himself will bring his mother to shame. That's the verse. And if we leave our children alone, what's the verse? 26, thank you. 26 there. He that wasteth his father and chaseth... 26? What verse was it, Brother Glenn? 26. Oh, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. If we do not pay attention to our children, what's going to happen? And we many times say a child left to himself. Oh, that means leaving my child alone. It does mean that. But you know that a child can be alone with mom and dad home. So what does that mean? You can be home, but not there. You can be home but not engaged in what's going on. You're focused on what you're focused on. Maybe it's your work or maybe it's other things in life. And day after day after day that goes by, you're not paying attention to how your child is acting. You're not paying attention to what they're saying. You're not paying attention to how they're feeling. You don't take time to sit down and say, hey, are you doing okay spiritually? You know, is there anything that I understand you're not going to sit down with your three-year-old and do that. Hey, how are you doing spiritually today? What I'm talking about is if something is bothering them, so they're acting in a way that's not normal, saying, hey, are you okay? Is something wrong? Pay attention to your children. Give them attention. Give attention to all of your children, not just some of your children. Don't give more attention to one than the other. I understand certain children are going to require more attention, more instruction at different times, but they should know that mom and dad, especially dad, loves everyone equally. Okay? Different types of attention, but pay attention to your children. Parents today have trouble paying attention to their children. Set them in front of the television. Hey, I'll see you later. 3 hours later, you don't know what the television's been teaching them. But haven't been paying attention to what's going on. A lot of parents today don't pay attention to what their children are doing on the internet. They need to pay attention. A lot of parents today don't pay attention to what their child is doing on their cell phone, if they have one, if they're a teenager or if they're a young person. Parents, we need to pay attention. Dad, you need to pay attention to what's going on in your child's life. So nurturing a child's heart. Second this morning, second point, protecting a child's heart. We're to nurture, we're to build up, we're to encourage. But the second area is protecting. Now, the importance of the heart, a heart is essential. If we did not have our heart, we would stop living, right? The blood would stop flowing through our body and we would die. But talking about the heart here, in spiritually speaking, is Proverbs 4:23 says that we are to protect it because our entire life depends on what happens with our heart. Proverbs 4, verse number 23. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep it means protect it. Put it in a place where it's protected from danger. And a place where a child's heart can be the best protected is with their parents. With their father, and yes, even and mother as well. So I give my heart to dad, but not to mom. You know, the Bible talks about someone that says that they are with you and that they agree with you, but it says their heart is not with you. Okay, our kids can be doing right, acting right, everything, but you know as a parent when your child's heart is not with you. Protect your child's heart. It determines many aspects of our life, our faith, direction of life, right and wrong. What do we need to protect them from? Well, we need to protect them from harmful influences. Jeremiah 9:14. Turn over there. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse number 14. Protect them from the influences that are negative. The influence of the world, the influence of wrong kinds of friends. Okay? Jeremiah chapter 9, verse number 14. Our children don't need to be missionaries. So, Pastor, what do you mean? It's not our child's job to fix everybody else's kids. If they have a problem, you protect your child from them and say, hey, I'm going to hang out with them because I think there'll be a good influence on them. It doesn't work that way. What's going to happen is those negative things are going to come back on your children. Amen? That's what happens every time. Every time you observe that, they say, well, I just want them to encourage them. I want them to help them. I want them to be a blessing to them. Good, they can pray for them. Yes, they can point them to the Bible. If they hang out with them all the time, it's not going to turn out the way you think. More and more, the child's heart is not going to be with you. Jeremiah 9:14. But have walked after the imagination of their own heart and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. It's interesting. You look at what happened with the children of Israel, they had idol worship, but it carried on from generation to generation because that's what their fathers taught them to do. And there are sometimes sins that are in families that children perpetuate because dad taught it to them. That should never be said of a Christian man that they taught their child to sin. Amen. And knowingly doing it. I understand we're not perfect. I understand it only seems our children pick up on the negative aspects of us, right? We see things in them and we know that's from us. You know, we know that the sin nature. But I'm not talking about that. Knowing something's wrong, knowing it's from the Bible, it's wrong. But yet teaching them to do it anyway. That's not protecting your children. Also, we need to protect them from the adversary's agenda. The devil is out to destroy your children. The world outside, here today, right now, by the way, it's always been this way. The world outside wants your children destroyed. Okay? Wants you destroyed. Wants God destroyed. Wants the Bible destroyed. Wants the church destroyed. Look at what's going on this month. Trying to destroy the family. That's direct attack on the family and God's order of the family. So we have to be aware of that. We can't just say, well, it's not going to happen to us. It's not going to be, that influence isn't going to come to our house. He goes to other people's houses, but he doesn't come to ours. I understand, we see with Job, that God put a hedge of protection around Job. You know why? Because he understood the devil was out there to get his family. And he prayed and he sought the Lord and he made sacrifice for the sins they hadn't committed yet, just in case they might have. He didn't even know of any, but he just besought the Lord and said, Lord, be merciful to them, just in case they've done wrong. Just in case they have said something in their heart against you, Lord. That's someone who is actively protecting against the adversary's agenda. And then also we need to protect them from sin. Look at Proverbs 1:15. We need to protect them from sin. So what do you mean protect them from sin? We have to make decisions as dads. And by the way, fathers here, if you're a husband, don't put it off on your wife to make the decision. If it's going to be unpopular. That happens sometimes. That's cowardly. If it's a tough decision, it's your responsibility. It's your job. Don't put it off on your wife. It's your job to make the decision. Proverbs 1:15 says this. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Don't walk with the ungodly. Don't walk in the way of sin. Don't go down that path. Refrain thy foot. And as parents, we have to make decisions to keep our children from sin. That you can't go do that over here. You can't go with this friend. You can't go do this because it's going to lead to a place that is going to be sin. You need to protect them from that. And we're going to get into this a little bit more as we go through the next couple of Sunday night messages. So I don't want to spoil that. But we need to protect them from sin. But how do we protect our children? How do we do that? You know, many times we talk about protecting our children. How do we do that? The greatest responsibility we have as fathers is in the area of prayer. I'll say that again. Our greatest responsibility we have as fathers, we say, well, isn't it bringing home the paycheck? No. Nurturing? Yes, and all of these things. But how do we protect our children? We protect our children on our knees. That's what this prayer journal is about. This is what the part of the gift is for Father's Day. So I want you to take some notes this morning. If you're not taking notes, please take this down. I had wanted to hand these out beforehand, but it didn't work out that way, so you could write it in here. A prayer journal is important, especially when we need to outline your prayer battle plan. There's a reason why people who pray fervently are called prayer warriors. We are in a spiritual battle with the devil and his demons and the influences of this world. We are in a battle. And if we are not trusting the Lord, if we are not seeking the Lord's face to protect our children, we are going to lose. We need to do battle on our knees for our kids. There are many times that as parents, we have come to the end. We don't know what to do. There's nothing we can do. And then we pray. We need to pray first. Amen. Because there are things, this has happened in raising my children and my boys. There's something in their heart. There's something there that you can't reach, that you can't do anything about, but God can. And prayed over and over again, it has happened that when one of my sons, I won't say who, but one of my sons is maybe having a struggle, and I know he is, and I'm trying to talk to him about it. I'm praying for him. And then a week later, maybe 2 weeks later, he comes and talks to me or comes and makes a decision at the altar. Say, Dad, I took care of that. Amen. That's exciting. Amen. A victory is won. And that's how we, and this is not just for dads, it's for moms too, that you need to pray for your children. So here are some helpful areas to get you started with a prayer journal. That this prayer journal is your prayer journal in praying for your children. You can put your spouse in there too. All right. We can include your wife in there too. All right. But for your family, if you will, what should we be praying for? So here are five areas to get you started. Five areas, number 1 through 5. Okay. The number one thing is the salvation of your children. Maybe praying for the salvation of your children from the time they are born. You should be praying for your child to be saved. And praying that they will understand. You hear that I pray that often. Baby dedication prayed this morning. I pray that often for many of our young people. That they, as they come to the age, especially where they're getting a little older, that they would be saved. Vacation Bible School is an exciting time. And where many young people, maybe 5 or 6 years old, or even some of them even 4, that they trust the Lord with their life. And now call upon Him to be saved. Number 2. So number 1, salvation of your children. Number 2, God's calling and purpose for your child's life. God, what would you have for them to do? I don't know what it is, Lord, but you do. Lord, will you give me the wisdom to guide them in the right way? Lord, that they would follow your guidance and that you would help me in teaching them to hear the voice of God. Praying for God's calling and purpose for your child's life. Number 3, praying for God's hedge of protection from satanic attack, like Job did. It's exactly Job chapter 1, a great example of that, in that he prayed for his children, and his children were adults. But he prayed for them. He sought for God's protection. And guess what? The devil wanted to get at him. But guess what? He came before the Lord. When God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And try to remember the wording here and paraphrase a little bit. But Satan said, you know, does he serve you for naught? I mean, there's a reason he serves you, because you protect him. There's a hedge around him. I've tried to get him, but I can't, because God, you put a hedge around. Remember, God is more powerful than the devil. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And when God puts that protection around, because he asked him to, God wants to do wonderful things for our families, but he wants us to ask. That's what prayer is. Praying every day that the prayer of protection, I think we're going to be shocked when we get to heaven and we ask the Lord, Lord, how many things did you protect me from? How many things did you put a hedge around my family and myself and protect me from? Because the devil wants to kill you. The devil wants to destroy you. The devil wants to destroy everything that even reminds him of God. And we are his most precious creation. He wants us destroyed. But to pray for that hedge of protection. Number 4, wisdom to make the correct decisions in every stage of life. James 1 tells us, but if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Parents, especially dads, we need wisdom. If you say, well, I've got the answers, I know how to answer all of these things, you're in trouble. Because you're going to run into, maybe you know some of the answers, but you know what? We need to be asked for wisdom, because what we think is the right answer might not be the right answer. But God gives wisdom through His Word. We have His Word here. We have the instruction manual. You know, some people ask, I wish my child came with the instruction manual. They do. It's right here. And guess what? When you live by it and you study it and you ask God for wisdom and He gives that wisdom, you need to follow it. And number 5, for God to keep your and your child's heart tender. I'll say that again. For God to keep your heart and your child's heart tender. That's part of, my son, give me thine heart. Lord, keep your heart tender towards me. Because when a child decides that I'm not going to listen to, I'm taking my heart away, my heart is not towards my parents anymore, some negative things begin to happen. And by the way, it's not all at once either. Can be a slow process begins to take form. You know, it's not hard to have the heart of your 2- and 3-year-old, okay? They're just there. They love everybody, right? They love you to death, you know, no matter what. But then as time goes on, as they get older, it can be easier and easier to lose your children's heart by decisions that you make, by things that you say, things that you do, also by can be stolen by the devil. And that brings us to number three this morning. Now, before I go into there, so this list I gave you of five things is not exhaustive, but every family will have specific requests. Keep these as categories and write them down when God answers your prayer. Put a date on it. God answered this. You'll also will have specific requests to add and ask God to add. And guess what? You might keep this journal for 20 years, and when they get married, you say, Lord, I prayed for their spouse. I prayed for them to marry a godly person. You can put the date on there that God answered that prayer. Amen? So number three, losing a child's heart. As our passage indicates, that's possible for you to not have a child's heart. I don't know what the situation was here when we what we see in Proverbs 23. It said, my son, give me thine heart. Either he's imploring to listen here. I'm trying to protect you from something. So you can't take a child's heart, by the way. So, well, I make my child, you know, respect me and love me. And it doesn't work that way. Hearts are given. You can't make someone love you. You can't make someone respect you. You can't make someone decide to listen to you. You can't make your child. You can't take their heart and keep it and hold on to it and by force and brute force. It doesn't work that way. Also, you can't buy it. Some parents try to buy their child's heart. Hearts can't be bought. You can only accept it as a gift. Amen. However, it can be stolen. The devil loves to steal hearts of children. Loves to steal hearts of spouses. So how can a father lose the heart of their child? So here are three or five things that you need to write down. The number one reason you can lose as a father, lose the heart of your children, the number one thing is through anger. Through anger. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 21. Colossians 3, verse 21. It's through anger, frustration. Our children try our patience at times because many times, especially if they did not do what we asked them to do or we thought they should be doing, we get frustrated or maybe they didn't meet our expectation, which we're going to get to in just a moment. But Colossians chapter 3, verse number 21 gives us a very, very clear instruction. Colossians 3, 21 says this, fathers. Now, why does it say mothers? Now, mothers can do this too, but who has a propensity to do this? Dads, men, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. What does that mean? Provoke them to anger can be through a lot of things. Through being angry at them, they get angry back. Or in anger, you put unreasonable disciplinary measures and they become angry. That in your anger and frustration, you tell them through verbal things that why can't you do anything right? And they have become angry and then discouraged. Children can actually be very easily discouraged if they think that they are not meeting, because a child's desire is to make mom and dad proud of them, is to make mom and dad that they accept me. And by the way, you always make sure your children know you accept them. Amen? Even if they make mistakes. Not saying there's not consequences for mistakes and that there needs to be training, but that even in spite of their mistake, you don't love them any less. That in spite of their mistake, you still care for them and love them and do anything for them, and that you will always be there for them. Children need to know that. Spouses need to know that. So through our angry words or angry actions, we can lose the heart of our children, because when we become angry, we hurt our children. And when we become angry and frustrated at them, when we yell, we put pressure on them. One preacher illustrated it this way. Every time you yell at a child and you become frustrated with them, you are handing them a stone and making them carry it. And they begin to carry, each time you get angry, they take another stone and another stone, and begin carrying around this burden that you have placed upon them. And by the way, so well, maybe, you know, when I get upset, well, I get results. You do, but eventually you won't. eventually the anger that they have inside of them will lead to rebellion. And one day they're going to say to you, I don't care what you say, I'm not going to listen to you. And it's usually when they become bigger than you are. That's not parenting. That's bullying. And that has been permeated in our society. It's still done today. And it can be a natural thing for a man to do, to try and get someone to do what they need them to do, to get frustrated, get louder than they can. But it's not. It's damaging. And you can lose the heart of your child. Another way you can lose, second way, is through neglect. I mentioned attention a little while ago. If you neglect the relationship with your wife, you neglect your relationship with your children, that you can lose the heart of your child because your child thinks, well, they don't really care about me. They don't care about my needs. They don't care about what's going on in my life. So I'm going to give my heart to someone else who cares. And the devil always brings someone along who seems to care. Man, devil always brings someone along that says, oh, you poor thing. Oh, you know what? Yeah, your parents are just so mean. You know, your parents just, they're so unreasonable. And they don't pay attention to you, but I'll pay attention to you. That's why young ladies go off and many times go off and get married to someone they're not supposed to get married to. Or young men go off and commit immorality with a girl. Why? Because mom and dad, especially dad, maybe didn't pay attention. They neglected their child's heart and they lost it and it was stolen. We need to guard the hearts of our children. They are more precious than any diamond or gem. Guess what? If you had a multi-million-dollar diamond, where are you going to put it? Man, I'm going to put that in a safe, and then I'm going to put that safe in a safety deposit box, and I'm going to make sure that safety deposit box is in the most secure bank in all the world. I mean, they need to have machine guns. They need to have the little laser things, you know, and they need to have all the state-of-the-art technology to protect my investment. Your child's heart is much more valuable than any of that. But do we go to the same lengths to protect it? Now, I'm not talking about going super crazy, okay? There's some parents out there that their child, they see someone walk by them, look at them weird, like, I got to protect them, tackle them! You know, okay, not go overboard, okay? We still need to have some faith in them, but we need to protect them either. You know, guess what? When they turn 18, doesn't mean, okay, make your own decisions now. Boom! Out you go. You don't need my wisdom anymore. You're on your own. That's not biblical. You see that with Abraham, you see with Isaac and different things. You see that, I believe Isaac was 30 years old, and guess who chose his wife? His father did. Now somebody like, so you believe in arrangement. I'm not saying that, okay, but I'm saying dad was involved. And who he married. Amen? And so I don't want to spoil the next part of my series for tonight, so I'm going to leave it there. So come back tonight for the rest. But it's a little snippet there. So through anger, through neglect, also look at Proverbs 28, verse 13. You can lose the heart of your child through deceit. Through deceit. I'm almost done. I understand. I see the time. I'm finishing up here. Proverbs 28, verse 13. Through deceit. So what do you mean, deceit? Lying to your children. You can lose their hearts if they lose their trust and faith in you. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth them, forsaketh them, shall have mercy. You can lose the heart of your child through deceit that you lied, you cover your sins, you lie about your sin. You're going to lose the heart of your child when maybe they're a teenager and they see you looking at something on the internet you're not supposed to look at. Oh, it wasn't what you thought it was when they know exactly what it was. And you lie and cover your sin, you're going to lose your child's heart that way. Maybe that they hear you talking to somebody around the corner, or maybe on your phone, or maybe they saw your text messages and you're using foul language, a language they ought not be using, but you make them not use it, but you use it in private, and your child hears that. And they said, oh, Dad, why? Oh, that wasn't, oh, I don't talk that way, you misheard. I didn't really do that. You know, you're just hearing things. You know, when we do that, we cover our sin. You can lose your child's heart that way. Be honest. Confess and forsake your sin. And guess what? When you confess your sin that you did wrong and you apologize, your children respect you more. You know why? Because we need to admit that we're human beings. Parents aren't perfect. And I'll talk to the kids for a moment. Kids, don't expect your parents to be perfect. They're going to make mistakes. Just like you make mistakes, you know what we need to do? Forgive one another. Amen. Love one another. But through deceit, also another way you can lose your child's heart is covering the sins of your children. A child can do no wrong. You know, I talk about this a lot. And I went, Brother Hammonds is just amazing. You know, the Christian school, when we had the Christian school, you know, a child does something wrong. It's amazing. Parents say, well, my child wouldn't do that. You must be wrong. It's like, I saw it happen. No, you must not be telling the truth. You must be mistaken. I watched a little girl steal something from her neighbor's desk. I watched it happen, and her parents and her mother said, well, my child will never do such a thing. She lies, but she's not a thief. And I said, what do you, I was kind of startled. And I said, oh, yeah, she lies like a rug at home. I said, so if I ask, but if I ask her, you know, so all of a sudden she's going to tell the truth if she's confronted, she stole something. Oh, yeah, she'll tell the truth. And so then I went through that, you know, it was me and another teacher saw it. We saw it happen. So, and then she says, well, I'm so sorry that happened. I'll go take care of it. Comes back the next morning, you know, she didn't do it. You know that family is destroyed today? Completely and utterly destroyed. Why? Covering the sins of a child. There was a much more deeper problem than that, but I've seen parents, they cover their child's sin. They don't allow their child the consequences of their sin, of their wrongdoing, taking, whether it's stealing something, whether it's saying something that they ought not have said, whatever it is, oh, my child wouldn't do that. There's no consequence. There's no punishment for wrongdoing, and they end up losing. They think they're helping their child and protecting their child. Actually, they're going to lose their child's heart. Because at the end, you know what they do? Those that have rebelled, they said, I wish, Mom and Dad, you just would have punished me. I wish you would have not saved, tried to save and lied about, because I knew what I did was wrong. You knew what I did was wrong, but you lied about it anyway because you didn't want to look bad, Mom and Dad. We need to be honest when our child sins. And we don't need to, not we need to be loving and kind, but don't cover the sins of your children. Be honest. Lead them to confess and forsake their sin. Number four, you can lose your heart, the heart of your child, through expectations. What I mean by that, look at Galatians chapter 6. That you have placed unrealistic expectations, or you make it clear to them over and over and over and over again that they have failed to meet your expectation, and they get the impression that your love and care for them is based on their performance. Performance-based relationships, that's how the world works. I don't care about you anymore if you don't do this for me. If you don't meet my expectations, then I don't love you anymore. And unfortunately, we've translated that over into our relationship with God. You know, people that struggle, I don't know if God loves me or not because they did wrong. They failed. They fell. But they think God doesn't love them anymore because they didn't meet God's expectation. I'll tell you here, God loves you no matter what. But that doesn't give us a license for sin. Romans 6, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God doesn't want us to sin, but when we fall and when we fail, God still loves us and wants to pull us out of the miry clay and set our feet upon the rock. And we should want to do that for our children as well. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You got to be careful with expectations. Your children aren't going to be just like you. Well, I didn't have trouble with that when I was growing up. That's great. Your child isn't you. They're going to struggle with different things than you did. They're not going to be. Also, be careful. Don't say, I know exactly what you're thinking. No one knows what anybody else is thinking at any given time. You got to be careful of that. And as parents, well, you know what? I know your mother really well, and I know myself, so I know exactly, you know what you're thinking. I can see your brain. Now, sometimes you can be right. Many times you're just going to frustrate them. You don't know. You know, you tell them what they're thinking. I wasn't thinking that. Be careful. Through expectations, unrealized expectations, that you have this expectation of them of perfection. Be careful of having unrealist academic expectations for your children. Your children will not be perfect. Teach them to do their best. And guess what? If their best is a B+, be thankful and praise them, not say, well, you should have gotten an A. I've seen what destruction that can cause. I have seen in college young people my age that they're sitting there ready to throw up in their seat and so anxious because they're afraid of what their mom or their dad is going to say to them when they tell them what grade they got. Because they want to please them, but they say, there's no way to please my parents. There's no way to please my dad. He always says, I need to do better. I need to do better. And by the way, many times, guys, we can just mean that to do your best, but do better next time. You can do better. You can do better. But doing that, you can enforce an expectation that they're never good enough. Praise them when they succeed. Aren't you so glad that God has expectations of us? But, you know, God praises us when we grow, when we learn, and when we do right. Maybe it isn't to the perfect expectation, but we're growing in the Lord. Got to be careful doing that to new converts, that they had to get everything fixed overnight. They need to grow. They need to learn some things. Your children do as well. And then number five, through bitterness. I wish I had more time to preach on this, but I don't. The Hebrews 12:15. Turn over there. This is what can destroy a family. Hebrews 12, verse 15, very clearly tells about bitterness. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness, you can lose a child's heart if you are bitter at them, that they have made a mistake, and that you constantly remind them of. You always do this. You know, the things that go in marriage counseling that you're not supposed to do with your spouse, that goes for your kids, too. Not supposed to constantly remind them of a particular failure. Maybe they disappoint, maybe they hurt you, and you haven't forgiven that. You turn that into bitterness, and you always go back. You know, whenever you talk about something, you relate the same story over and over and over again to you. Oh, yeah, I remember. You know, things haven't been the same since you did that, but it's okay, I forgive you. If you forgave them, why are you bringing it up? Amen? If you've forgiven them, why are you bringing it up? And then it's, oh, yes, well, you know, you've always been different since this happened. But I know the Lord's forgiven. I've forgiven you. If that's not forgiveness, amen? Guess what? The devil does a good enough job bringing it up to them. Doesn't need your help. People that make mistakes and they fail and they sin, maybe it's in a big area. Guess what? The devil does a good enough job reminding them how much of a failure they are. And how God can't use them and how you won't love them anymore. And when you bring it up again, you reinforce what the devil has already told them. Don't do it. Also, bitterness in your child's life. Maybe you've trespassed against your child and something you've said or done. Can it be something small and they have decided not to forgive it, but to become bitter against it? Bitter against you. And when you see that, it's amazing to me how many times people see bitterness in their children and they leave them alone. Well, they'll get over it. No, you need to try and reconcile with your child. You need to try and seek for forgiveness. Because when bitterness is left, it will defile their life. It will defile the life of siblings. It will defile the life of friends, of all kinds of people around them, because it was left unchecked. God is the one who takes the root of bitterness out of a heart and a life. But that doesn't, we say that, so it's not our responsibility that we don't try and implore them and talk to them. Guess what? Children many times are bitter. They don't understand what bitterness is. They just know they're angry. They just know they're upset. They just know that when they remember what happened, they just get upset and angry. And they bring it up. By the way, the same way, if we're bringing up stuff, we could be bitter about stuff. If they're bringing up stuff constantly of trespasses you've made, they're probably bitter as well. You need to pray for them. You need to help them. You need to implore them to seek the forgiveness of God and to grant that forgiveness. So in conclusion this morning, will we take this calling with humility and submission to Christ? The highest calling to nurture and protect a child's heart. The greatest gift a father can have is the heart of their child. It takes a man to be a leader and the protector of your family. There are many fathers today in our world that they are fathers, but they are not men. A biblical man is humble. A biblical man loves and cares and protects and nurtures. Will you take the challenge today? If you have lost your child's heart, will you take action and find out where you lost it? You know, when you lose something, you know, my wife, reminds me that I very often lose my keys. Some of you won't know that. Pastor, can you unlock this for me? Oh, I don't have my keys with me. Many times when I say that, I have lost them somewhere. And for some reason, when I had my car, I have a habit of throwing keys in the trash. For some reason, I think it through. I have the keys in my hand from coming in from the car, and I have something I'm throwing away. And for some reason, I throw away the keys with what's in my hand. Now, some of us have done that, right? Just be honest. Who's done that? So I'm not raising my hand. All right. Like two of you raised your hands. I'm just going to let Pastor stand alone on this one. Anyway, and I thought about getting one of those little tile things because I kept losing my key, especially when I had my car. It was the only key I had. And it was like $200 to get a new one. But guess what? When you lose something, what do you do? Oh, well, I lost it. No, if it's valuable, you go back to where you lost it and you think back in your mind. And guess what? You can maybe find it because you remember where you lost it. If you don't have your child's heart, think back to where you lost it. Go back in time. Maybe it was days, weeks, months, or even years or decades ago that you lost their heart, and maybe you don't know the exact thing. Guess what? Go to your children. They'll tell you where you lost it. They'll tell you what happened. They'll tell you about the anger or the bitterness or the deceit or something happened and that changed and the heart was lost. They'll tell you, go back to where you lost it and get it right and build that relationship again. On Father's Day, greatest honor we can have is to nurture our children. And by the way, that nurturing doesn't stop when they leave the home. As they grow into adulthood, we nurture and encourage and edify and build them up. Give wisdom. Be a father that your children want to seek wisdom from you and respect you. And also, here's something here that we don't hear very often. Your children are human beings as well. Respect them as well. So what do you mean, Pastor? Respect them. Sometimes we treat our children as our little minions and subjects, and we don't respect them as individuals that they are. We need to respect them if you want to be respected. So let's pray. There's a lot more we could go into. I know I've preached a long time this morning, but let's seek the Lord. Dads, even mothers today, will we pray for our children? Will we seek to nurture and protect them? Maybe there's an area that we haven't been nurturing. Maybe there's an area we haven't been protecting. Let's seek the Lord this morning. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. I pray that you bless us as we go into the invitation time. And Lord, forgive me for being long-winded, dear Lord, but there's so much that is needed today. There's so much that is needed in our homes. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be wise, to be the parents that you would have us to be. And Lord, I pray that if we've lost our child's heart, dear Lord, that we would go back and see where we lost it, that we would seek to restore that relationship. Maybe there's bitterness or anger in our heart. There's sin in our life that we need to get right. Whatever the case may be, Lord, I don't know the situations. I don't know what's going on in hearts and lives. But Lord, I pray that you, dear Lord, would answer prayer today and that we would seek your face in Jesus' name. Amen.